Well, hey, good morning. My name is Josh. I'm our Adult Ministries pastor here, and you guys get to hang out with me for the next 30 to 40 minutes this morning. Hey, life is like a race, isn't it? Like, there's a beginning, there's a launching point, there's a start, there is an end, you cross the finish line, there's an end, and then there is all the time that's left in the middle, all the space that's left in the middle, and all we have to do is decide what we're going to do with that time. And I think there's a lot of good things as we move towards and move through this race of life that we want to take with us, that we want to keep with us, like good friends, good relationships. We want to bring good habits along with us. And as we go through life, we're making sure in one season to the next, we're bringing those good things with us because they add value to our lives. They allow us to live a full and satisfying life. And especially if you follow Jesus, that as we bring that along with us, we want to make sure that we continue to grow and follow him in our seasons, in our journeys, and bring along what we've learned before and continue to grow. And that's so important, what we believe in here. But there are also things that you know that there are not worth bringing along with us. Things that hold us back, things that maybe don't allow us to thrive in our lives as we move from one season to the next, that we should say, okay, that was there, but we're going to leave it there. We're not going to bring it with us because it only tears us down. And one of those things that we bring with us sometimes, and we shouldn't, are our excuses. And we're going to have this conversation. We're talking about this series, Paper Walls, and we use this language a lot. We call things series, and all a series is a conversation. We are having a conversation about excuses over the next handful of weeks, and I'm starting it, and then the next 3 weeks we'll continue it. So you're not going to want to miss, because we're continuing this conversation over the course of the next 4 weeks. And if you're already creating reasons or excuses in your life of why you might not be here next week or the week after, you are in the right place this morning. So, excuses. Excuses are like paper walls. That from a distance, they look like a real wall. From a distance, they look sturdy, they look strong. It's like, okay, there is a real obstacle there. Like, we don't have a choice. This is a real wall, but when we get a little bit closer, our excuses are less like a real wall and more like a paper wall. It's flimsy, that's thin, that you could go right through. And when we think about the paper walls in our lives, the excuses in our lives, they can act as a real wall, one that holds us back, one that if we think about the path of our life and we look at maybe some of the obstacles, we realize that they're not real reasons. They're excuses. They're just things that get in the way and hold us back. I think our excuses work along the progression like this. Our excuses are passed off as reasons, right? We all have reasonings. Our excuses might be turned into reasonings, reasons why we do this, reasons why we do that, that turn into becauses. What do I mean by they turn into becauses? Well, if we have excuses and we actually pass them off as reasons and they're actually paper walls, they turn into becauses and it looks like this. Well, why don't you do this? Well, because. Why don't you do this? Well, because. Why don't you stop doing that? Because. Why do you start doing that? Well, because. Why don't you hang out with them? Because. Why don't you forgive them? Well, because. Well, why don't you acknowledge them? Because. And we have a long list of becauses in our lives, and it grows super quickly when we're not careful. Those becauses add up and they create walls in our lives that keep us from doing something. They keep us from moving from one thing to the next because it's viewed as an obstacle and we let it get in the way. And what's so easy and fascinating about this idea of paper walls is there's these walls that we see in other people. In just a few minutes of talking about excuses, or maybe right now, you're thinking of someone that you're like, oh yeah, I can spot it a mile away. In their life, they have all sorts of excuses. They have all sorts of things that they play in their mind, things that get in the way, and they make excuses all the time. Or maybe it's the person sitting next to you, and you're giving them the elbow. You're like, hey, you make excuses. It's so easy to do that and point that out in other people, to see their excuses, to see how front and center it is in their lives. And we're like, well, why don't you just stop? Why are you lying to yourself? Why are you putting up these walls? Why are you letting these reasons keep you from doing something good or doing something worthwhile? It's really easy to see in other people, but we all know this, is that when we go home and we look in the mirror, we look ourselves in the eyes, we're like, I don't see anything wrong with you. We don't see any excuses in our lives. We don't see those, or maybe we do see them and we just don't want to acknowledge them. Why? Well, one, because we have reasons and we have becauses that feel right, that feel justified, and most likely, and this is important, most likely they are justified. They are real reasons. We're all human. We've been through experiences. We've been through circumstances. We've been through things that make us feel, react, think in certain ways. Once upon a time, someone said something to you. Someone said something about you. Maybe someone placed an expectation on you. Maybe something happened to you, or someone did something to you. And those things add up. And they cause us to say, well, I don't want to experience that again. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to go through that pain. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to avoid it. And I'm going to put up these paper walls that are excuses masked as real reasons in our lives. And what we quickly find out is that when we run into those, they're not protecting us. They're getting in the way. They're getting in the way. And the moment that we see those, we often run the other way. I think our excuses are oftentimes rooted in this idea, is that when we blame something internal on something external, right? The root of us putting up these walls, the root of us blaming on other people, is because we feel something inside. We know something inside. We experience that it's there, but we say, I don't really want to embrace that. I don't really want to say, okay, that's a part of me. So we take something internal that we are experiencing and put it on someone else. Well, they did that to me, or they did that to them, or I experienced this because of this time and this circumstance, so that's why I feel this way. In the moment that we do that, the moment that we say it's not in here, it's out there, is the moment the blame gets placed on something else and the wall is built. And like I said, if we're not careful, one after another, after another, after another excuse gets built up, and now instead of protection, we're just walled in and we don't have anywhere to go. So in this series, especially today, I'm going to ask something big of you, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. The big ask is, will you consider, think about some excuses that you have in your life? Will you consider some of these big things that are getting in the way of you living out your full potential, living out following Jesus, living out building relationships? Will you consider that? What might be present in your life? What's holding you back? And it would be completely, completely unfair of me to ask that of you, but not ask that of myself. So I wanted to share a few excuses that I have with you guys, or have had. And I did what most of us would do. I asked myself, what excuses do I have? And I came up short because we don't like to acknowledge them in ourselves. So here's a good practice. When you want to know the truth, ask someone that's close to you. If you want to know the brutally honest truth, ask your spouse. I asked my wife and I said, Des, what excuses do I have in my life? What have I had? And so she pulls out her notebook and flips through. Which one do you want to hear? Do it. Ask your spouse, ask a close friend. They'll be honest with you. They'll tell you, because we can see it in other people. But she's like, I have two for you. And I was like, I completely agree, after she told me. And one's a little bit lighter and the other one meant a little bit more. But recently, maybe some of you have experienced this as well, the sick that's been going around. So I got sick, was sick for a good long while. And I told myself, you're 26 years old. You're strong. You're tough. You can get through this. This sick doesn't have anything on you. So what did I do? I didn't go to the doctor or get medicine. I said, I'm going to beat this by myself and I'm going to come out better on the other side. Well, I ended up being sick for a week and a half and I said, all right, I need to finally go to the doctor. Meanwhile, Des is telling me the whole time, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. And I'm like, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm beating this out. I didn't, but I'm going to, in the beginning, I was like determined. I was going to do this. And I told her some reasons why I'm not going. I'm like, I'm young, I'm strong, I'll get through this. I'm not like most people, I'm superhuman. We all think that. We're all a little bit prideful in that way. But the reality was there's also some underlying things and reasons that I had as to why I didn't go to the doctor. Number one is I hadn't been to the doctor in 8 years. I'm bragging a little bit, but I was like, I got a streak. I can't break this streak. I haven't been there in 8 years. I'm not compromising it off of a sore throat and a cough. I also told myself, I don't have the time. I don't have enough time to go to the doctor. I got to go all the way to Mansfield and get back. I don't want to use the time to go do that if I can just get over it myself. And I also said, I don't want to spend the money. It's not worth it. It's going to cost me $100 to go to the doctor, get my medicine, do all this stuff. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to spend the time. And I think I'm above that. Well, I ended up doing all of those things because I had enough after a week and a half. I gave in. But what was true is I got Des sick about halfway through that. And now she is still dealing a little bit with a cough. And in the middle of the night, she's having coughing attacks, and I am frustrated because I was sick, and now she's sick, and I'm like, I haven't slept well in 4 weeks. This is ridiculous. And I'm waking up, and I'm so mad. I roll over in my bed. I'm like, dang it, why don't you go to sleep? And she just rolls over, and she says, you can't be mad you did this to me. Your excuses caused this. And I said, oh, you're so right. I can't be mad. But what's true is I pulled out these paper walls, and I said, I don't have the time. And it started to crumble, because I knew that that's an excuse, because I ended up going and started feeling better. Or, I'm healthy enough. I don't need it. I'm young. I haven't been in 8 years. Excuses shortly fell. And then I discovered that my excuses only came back to hurt me. My excuses, my walls that I put up, that now I can see through the other side, I realize that it's only coming back to hurt me. And my excuses kept me from being healthy, and then it kept my wife from being healthy and kept both of us from sleeping well, still now for 4 weeks or so. And that's the result of our paper walls, the excuses that we make, is that on the other side of it, we don't know. We don't know what's on the other side of it until we break through. Until we get over it and say, you know what, I messed up, I made the mistake because now I'm seeing the consequences for it. The second example that she said, she gave me, we're going on 4 years of marriage, and if you've ever stepped into a relationship like that where you're so close with someone, where you're living together, you have a really close friend, and maybe you have roommates or whatever that dynamic looks like, you learn a lot about a person. You learn a lot about their personality, their behaviors, all the things that they do. And for her and I, we're in this stage of, all right, we're experiencing how to exist in a marriage together and how to treat each other. And there was something that I lacked, that I fell short in the first year to 2 years of marriage. I stepped in and I was really bad at communication. I didn't really know how to express what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and we had a cycle that we would see over and over and over again, right? We get in a conflict, and it usually goes, one person gets upset, then the other person gets upset because they're upset. Now I'm upset about her, she's upset with me, and we don't even know why we were upset in the first place, but now we're just upset with each other, and we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out this conflict, and here's how it would go, is Des would express her thoughts, her feelings, her emotions, how she felt, why she's upset, why there's a tension. And in my mind, I had a decision to make. I could either try to get to the end, accommodate her, listen to her, get to the end of this conflict, this solution, or I could also express my feelings and we could work it out. Sure, it might take a little bit longer, but we'll get to the end of it. And what I decided time and time and time and time again is that my feelings didn't matter. I didn't need to speak my mind or my emotions, and I could handle it on my own. We know that that's usually not a good formula for health, especially in a marriage. And what ended up happening is I realized I wasn't being self-sacrificial. I wasn't being humble. I was saying, all right, Des, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to get to the end of this. I'll accommodate you. I'll listen to you. I'll make sure everything's good, and I'll deal with all my stuff on the other side of this, and I'll get through it, and I'll figure it out. And what I quickly realize that only hurt me, that only hurt her, and sometimes that made other people around us extremely uncomfortable because we'd carry tension into other situations, other social situations. And it led to, and maybe you're like this, it led to me building stuff up inside of me, and at some point it would all have to come out. And it would come out in a really ugly way and sometimes dangerous. One time I was driving down the road, white-knuckling the steering wheel, driving really recklessly with Des in the car because I was so frustrated. Because weeks and weeks and weeks of this has built up inside of me. And again, I realized that my excuses led to consequences in my marriage. And it hurt relationships and it hurt me. By the time I couldn't see that, I couldn't realize that because I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't trying to embrace it. And I ended up going to counseling, and we worked through some things, and I learned how to share my emotions, and it was super healthy for us. But I look back and say, man, those were some pretty big excuses that I had in my life that I didn't realize in the moment, but there were walls that were keeping me from experiencing freedom in my life. So for you, what might that be? Because we all have it. We all have excuses. Big, small, we all have walls built in our lives. What are they and where do we need to go with it? Maybe a question you might be asking, why are we talking about this in church? Because this is like a good conversation to have. It's good for all of us to address our excuses, address our reasons, our buts and becauses, but why are we talking about this in church? Because there is a direct relationship between our ability to follow Jesus and our willingness to break through our paper walls. There's a direct correlation between our ability to follow Jesus and our ability to break through paper walls. Why? Because if we let walls and we let excuses build in our lives, they start telling us what to do. They start to become our king. Excuses start to become our Lord, and they tell us what we can and can't do. They say, hey, you do this, but don't do this. Don't be with them. Hey, you're not allowed to do that, but you're allowed to do that. That's what kings do. They tell their people what to do. Don't hang out with them. Don't work there. You don't have influence here. Don't forgive them. Don't acknowledge them. And pretty soon, we start listening to our excuses more than anything else in our lives because it looks like there's a wall in our way, and the only direction that we have to go is the other direction. And the hard truth is that for some of us, we've been doing this for a really long time, and we might find our way into church and sing to King Jesus every single week, but we serve King Excuse. We follow and serve King Excuse more than we do King Jesus. And if that's you in the room, if you're like, I haven't been really honest with you, with myself. Maybe that takes a little bit of reflection. Maybe we need to address that. Maybe we need to say, hey, I'm going to stop serving King Excuse and I'm going to start serving King Jesus. That's not really relevant. Maybe you look at it as like a board of directors or your boss at work. The policy is this, so you're not allowed to do this. You know, that might be okay, but I don't know how good it would look, so maybe you shouldn't do that. Or a group of people murmuring like, hey, I don't think you should do this, so we're going to adjust. We're going to tell you not to do this, and they lead you in a different direction. We don't want excuses to be our board of directors or our boss. So I asked the question, and maybe you've wrestled with this, and I know my answer, and you guys are rational people too. So your answer is probably the same as mine, is do you want excuses to be the boss of you? Do you want excuses to tell you what to do with your life? I don't want to be limited in that way. I want to have freedom with my life. So we have to find a way to identify our paper walls and break through them to get to the other side to see maybe what a more free and fulfilling life looks like. So we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, and a little bit of backstory on the book of Hebrews. It's in the New Testament, right? The Bible is made up of the Old and the New Testament. The New Testament took place with Jesus, and then the years following Jesus. So it starts with the stories of Jesus, then moves forward, and the Hebrews is after Jesus, and it's a book, but not really a book. It's like a message, it's a sermon, and there's a bunch of chapters, but they're all strung together in one line of thinking, one thought, as if someone is writing down a message that they are giving to people. And I find this so fascinating because it crosses our story so well, better than a lot of other parts in the Bible, because the audience of the book of Hebrews is a group of Jewish Christians. So before Jesus, they were Jewish believers, and then they started following Jesus, so they're Jewish Christians. And they are going through some tough times, some trials, some tribulations, some roadblocks in the way to their faith. They are facing opposition because people are trying to pull them away from their faith. And they have this challenge. They say, do I pursue this and deal with the hardships, or do I give it up and have a little bit easier life? But where it connects with us is these people probably weren't the people who walked with Jesus. These people probably weren't the ones that said, okay, I see Jesus face to face. I walked alongside of him. I heard him talk. So I believe in him. These were probably second generation Christians. Their parents or their grandparents were the ones who walked with Jesus. So they're like the test group. They're the beta group for us as the first people who got to follow Jesus, mostly just on their faith. And the faith in the events of the stories that they have heard, the events that have happened before their time, that they have faith in something that they can't see, feel, touch, or hear. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they had to keep that faith when times were tough. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging these people. He's encouraging you and me as we face trials, hard things, bumps in the roads, walls in front of us, to keep the faith, pursue the faith. It's worth it. It's not worth it to give it up. It's worth it to pursue and to persevere through this. And this is what he tells them in chapter 12. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I think of throw off, that action. We're throwing it off. We're not letting it just hang around. We're not letting it simmer. We're not slowly taking off. We're throwing it off, anything that hinders us. Because whatever hinders us is weighing on us. And it causes us to move slowly. And in life, when things hinder us, they slow us down from our purpose, from our relationships, from things that are good for us, things that we want to carry with us in our lives. It says, and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, what's so good about the Bible is we can go back and look. And I think it's really good to look at words, phrases, ideas, thoughts that we hear really often. That we hear all the time when it comes to Christianity. We hear this word sin a lot. And when we look at Jesus's demonstration and definition of sin, it's not a list of rules. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of laws. Jesus defines sin over and over and over again as anything that hurts someone. Anything that hurts someone else, anything that hurts you, right? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God so loved the world, he loves his creation, his people in the world. So when we sin, when we hurt other people in this world, we are breaking God's heart because he loves each and every single one of us. So our sin hurts other people and it's separating us from God. And we have to be rid of this. We have to get rid of this thing that tangles us up, that slows us down in our life. And lying is a sin. Why? Because lying breaks relationship. We can't have a relationship where there's no trust. If someone doesn't trust us because we are lying in a relationship, then it's so hard to have a real, authentic relationship, there's most likely going to be distance. And that hurts God, that breaks God's heart because he wants us to be in relationship. He created us to be in a relationship. So when we lie within a relationship, we're hurting the other person, we're hurting us, and we're breaking God's heart. We have sin in our lives. Excuses are a lie. Excuses are a lie we tell ourselves about ourselves. So when we let an excuse into our life, we are lying to ourselves. We are hurting ourselves. We're hurting our relationships. And we're just telling us something false. We're putting up a fake wall in our lives to protect us from something that's not even there. It's a lie we tell ourselves about ourselves. And again, I want to go back to this. If you've been lying to yourself for a really long time, if you've been making excuses for a really long time and you find yourself feeling like, oh yeah, that's me. I've been in this situation for a really long time and I've experienced a lot of lies and I've lied to myself a lot. Might I suggest you go home and you look in the mirror and you apologize to yourself? Because you're hurting yourself and you've hurt yourself for a long time because you've been sinning and lying against yourself. You might owe yourself an apology. And that might be the first step to moving forward. That might be the first step to freedom, is acknowledging that very simple truth that I've been lying to myself. The author goes on in this passage. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race worked out for us. And some of you see that word run, you're like, I haven't ran in 5 years. I don't know if I can do this. It's metaphorical. We're running this race with perseverance in our life. And if you've been around church, you've been around Christianity, you know, you've probably heard this before, that there's a plan for your life, that there's a path for your life, that there is a way that you should follow or can follow. And that applies for all of people who believe, all of people who have faith. Like, there is a path for all Christians, that this is the way that we should live, and this is the way that we should live our lives, and should be the demonstration of our lives. But for you individually, I believe that there's also a plan for your life. That there's a path laid out for you to follow, and sometimes we get off of that path, but we need to work our way back on. If you believe that, or maybe if you're not a Christian in the room, maybe you're just checking us out, maybe you're just trying to figure this whole faith thing out, you have goals in your life. You have goals for your family, for your friends, for your job, for all the things that you do. You have goals in your life. I think all the author is saying in this case is run your race with perseverance because you don't want to lose your own race. You don't want to lose your own race because no one else is doing that to you. You're not blaming it on someone else. You're losing your own race. And when we put excuses, when we put walls in our lives by ourselves, when we build those walls by ourselves, it holds us back from running our race. And when we're held back from running our race, when we're walled in on every side of us, you know who we start to think more about? Ourselves. We think less of the people around us, and we start to think, all right, how do I protect myself? How do I keep myself safe? How do I look out for number one? How do I look out for me? How do I avoid pain and discomfort and all this stuff? And we start to think about ourselves, and we know this. We know this is that when we're selfish, we rarely make a difference. When we make excuses, when we start thinking about ourselves, we rarely make much of a difference. And that's not what our lives were created for. Our lives weren't created to be self-centered and small. We are created to be a blessing to the world. We are created to love other people. We are created to be in community with other people. And the moment that we start building walls on every single side of us, we start turning that internal and we miss the race of our life. We miss the plan. We miss the calling of our life. And I don't think any of us want to hit that finish line and say, I didn't do much, but I lived. There's not a lot to say about me, but I was here. I think we want people to talk about us as if we made a difference. We impacted someone else's life. We inspired someone else. And I think when we look at these excuses that are often selfish, I think there's a trend. And maybe this is not everything, but it is for some things. I think when we look at selfishness, we might disguise it as something. I think we might take excuses and look at them as humility. We disguise it as humility, but the reality is it's selfish. And I look at my story as the example. I thought I was being selfless to my wife. I thought I was being humble. I don't want to burden her. I don't want to bother her. I don't want to prolong this conflict. I don't want to prolong what we've been sitting in. So I just want to be done with it. And I'm saving us both a lot of time. I'm saving us both a lot of effort and energy. But the reality is that wasn't humble at all. That was completely selfish. I was only thinking about me. I was only thinking about what's best for me, what's going to be most comfortable for me, how am I going to experience the least amount of tension in my life. Maybe that's the story for you. Maybe it's disguised as something. Maybe that wall, you see it and you can defend it, but the reality is that it's a paper wall. And the moment that you poke through it, it crumbles. So what do we do? What do we do about the excuses in our lives? I think we start here, but then the next few weeks, you're not going to want to miss the next few weeks because we're going to come up with this strategy to figure out, all right, how do we discard these? How do we move forward? How do we get past this? But this is what the author says. This is what we need to do. We need to Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race worked out for us. Goes on to say, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is, I've read this 20 times this week, and I think it's like a perfect message for us wrapped up in just a couple of sentences. Because I think it's so personal for us. It's like a command to us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He's saying, hey, you need to run your race. Throw off everything that hinders you, get rid of this sin, and fix your eyes on me. Actually, forget all of that. Let's just start with fixing your eyes on me. I just want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. And once we fix our eyes on Jesus, don't move. Don't look away. Don't stop. Don't come up with the excuse to say, well, there's this, and well, but, and because all of this. No, fix your eyes on Jesus and all that he did for us. The pain that he endured, the cross that he suffered for us, the sacrifice that he made, the things that he taught and demonstrated to us. Let's fix our eyes on him and not move. And then, when we are running our race and we consider him, what's not going to happen? We're not going to grow weary. We're not going to lose faith. We're not going to go off the path because we are with God. We're fixing our eyes on him. And we're not moving. We're not moving. We're not going off that path. And that gives us these rails for us to move forward in a direction that allows us to experience freedom and might show us what's on the other side of the walls that are keeping us in and keeping us focused on ourselves. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about that. But I want to wrap up today by continuing that thought we were saying earlier. What excuses might you have? Now, I'm going to lay out just some big buckets of excuses that we might all face, pretty general, but here's my invitation to you. I'm going to say a few of them, and as they come out, as you think about them, I just want you to do that. Think about them. Don't let them pass by. Don't let them just come and go. Don't make an excuse for your excuse. If you're like, yeah, that's me, I have an excuse in that area, don't say, well, but I do that, but there's an excuse there, so because I'm not, don't do that. Think, contemplate, mull it over, process it, allow it to sink in and say, is this me? Do I have an excuse in my life that's holding me back? And here's my next invitation, is if one of these resonates with you, don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty if you're like, I'm making that excuse. I'm making that mistake. I'm falling short and I feel so bad about it. Don't feel guilty. Why? Because guilt is an unworthy motivator. We all know this, that guilt never drives us to do anything of significance. It might help push us for a day or a week, but pretty soon guilt fades away so fast. Guilt's not going to drive us anywhere. So sitting in the, oh, I feel so bad and guilty, it's not going to help us. So there's no need to sit in that. My invitation to you is to think about the freedom that's on the other side of the wall. Think about the freedom that you might experience if you are able to see what's on the other side and say, I want more of that. I'm tearing down these walls that are holding me back. I'm not feeling guilty, but I now am so joyful because I see the path to freedom. I see the path to a lack of excuses, a lack of selfishness, more joy, more selflessness, more humility, and a bigger difference in this world. So, my encouragement, look for the freedom, not for the guilt. And really take it in and ask yourself, you're the only person that you're hurting if you make an excuse for your excuse is you, because you're holding yourself back. So, four big buckets, actually. The first one is your relationships. Do you have an excuse in your relationships? Do you have an excuse for not reconciling a relationship? Like last series, we talked about how to build relationships back up and how we move forward from them. Do you have an excuse that is keeping you from a relationship, from reconciling, that you've had some conflict with it, that you know you need to address, you know you need to put some attention to, but you can come up with a million different excuses as to why you don't? Do you have a relationship you need to reconcile? Do your relationships need more time? Are you making an excuse for not spending time with the people who are closest to you or who matter the most to you? Are you making an excuse for not spending time with your spouse or your kids or your best friends or the rest of your family? Is there something standing in the way like, oh, I'm just so tired at the end of the day, so I'm not going to spend some time with them? Or I'm so exhausted because I've worked 80 hours this week, so I don't really have time, and I don't really feel like investing time in my relationship, so you're just not going to. Do you have an excuse that gets in the way of maybe one of the most important aspects of your life? Do you have an excuse for not reaching out to someone? Is that excuse like, hey, I don't want to bother them. If I call them or if I shoot them a text, like, I'm bothering them. I'm getting in the way. They don't have time for me. I'm not important to them. Come on. Have you ever been upset because someone sent you a text, how are you doing? Checking in on someone? It's an unworthy excuse. Do you have an excuse for not reaching out to someone, catching up with a friend, reconnecting, rebuilding a relationship? Do you have an excuse when it comes to your time? Do you have excuses for wasting your time on things that don't really matter? Spending hours and hours and hours in front of a screen when you could be investing in relationships? Do you have an excuse when it comes to the way that you use your time, you waste your time? Do you have an excuse for the things that you need to spend more time on? What are the most important things in your life? What projects do you need to get done? What are you procrastinating from? And what excuses are keeping you from getting that done and allowing you to procrastinate? Do you have an excuse with your time? Do you have an excuse with your finances? Do you have an excuse for the debt that you haven't paid off yet? And you know you can, but you've just been setting it aside, it doesn't matter. Are you a slave to the lender? Are you living under someone else's control because you have refused to pay off a debt that you know you need to pay off? Do you have an excuse for the way that you spend your money unreasonably? I think we all have this thing or something that we're like, hey, yeah, I'm willing to spend all my excess and maybe a little bit more of excess, but really in a day or a week, we can't even remember what we spent our money on. It holds no value now. Do you have an excuse for the reasons that you use your money unreasonably or waste it? Or on the other hand of that, because this is me, do you have an excuse for not investing your money in anything? You're such a saver and you're so stingy and you're clinging to your money because you love it and it's security for you. Do you have an excuse that says, hey, you need to hold on to that because what if you don't? What kind of fear creeps in? Do you have an excuse that says you need to keep that and not invest it? Invest it in other people, invest it in other matters that are important, that are valuable, that will make other people better, that might enhance your life. Do you have an excuse in your relationships, in your time, and in your finances? And if you're not a Jesus follower, if this is not your home church, I think those are all really good to mull over, to think about. And if you are part of this church, I think those are also good to think about. But if you do call Core home, if this is your home church, I want to speak to you for just a minute. Do you have excuses when it comes to your church? I want to make this super, super, super clear. Your relationship with your church, with this church, with the church that you attend, your relationship with your church is not your relationship with Jesus. Showing
Hey, there it is. We're good. We might have excuses for why our mic goes out. We're not perfect here. We all run into stuff every once in a while. Thanks for being patient. We might have excuses that come with our church, and our relationship with our church is not our relationship with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus is our relationship with Jesus. And we have to tend to that first and foremost, but the church is a primary way that we, as a community, come together, that we love people, that we worship together, that we serve, that we invest, that we make a difference in our community. The church is the vessel that we have to make a difference as a whole collectively. And for you, do you have an excuse when it comes to your church? We have serving opportunities here at church, and kids and students holding a door. We have small groups where we can join and sit in circles and invest intentionally, both relationally and spiritually with God. We have opportunities for you to invest your money financially here because we couldn't do what we do without the generosity of people who attend our church. We wouldn't have the reach that we do if we didn't have people like you who were generous to our church. Might you have an excuse for not stepping in and being faithful in all of those areas? Might you have an excuse that keeps you from doing those things? If that excuse is, well, those are just church things that if they have a need, I step in and I fill. But those aren't just church things. Those are things that we believe as a church make the biggest difference. So we have small groups for you to step in. Do you have an excuse as to why you aren't investing in community here at Core? Do you have an excuse as to why you aren't giving financially, being generous financially here at Core to make a bigger difference in other people? Do you have an excuse to not join one of our serving teams, to make a difference, to make it more than yourself, to make church bigger than yourself? Everything that we do around here has a purpose and a mission, and we want everybody, not because we want to be the best and biggest church, we just want to make the biggest difference, and it takes all of us. Just a couple weeks ago, I got asked, because we had an influx, this is when we had baptisms a few weeks ago, and we had an influx of kids. So I'm walking back the kids' hallway, and I walk by the three and four-year-olds class. And they're like, hey, can you help out? Because we have an influx. There's two of us back here, but like a million little kids running around. We need your help. So I'm like, sure, I'll jump in. And what I saw and experienced was incredible, but also heartbreaking. Because I jumped in that room, and immediately got swarmed by a bunch of three-year-old and four-year-old boys trying to tackle me and wrestle with me, and were literally marching around the room, playing hide and seek, doing all these things for an hour, having the time of our lives. This is the best. It's a blast. And what I observed was that those boys had a great time. All the kids had a great time. But they craved something. They craved a male influence in their life. Back in our kids' environment. And there's a lot of women, and there are a handful of men that go back there, but there's a lot of women that serve back there faithfully and love those kids and make a big difference. And if you're one of them, I just want to celebrate you and say thank you. But if we're talking about the excuses in our lives, gentlemen, I'm specifically talking to you. Do you have an excuse? Do you have an excuse for not stepping into the life of a kid or a student? Because our kids need it. Our boys need a male influence to show them what it's like to have faith. And to be honest, we don't have enough of it right now. We don't have enough men saying, it might be uncomfortable, but I'm going to hang out with some kids and some students because they're the next generation of faith who are going to make a difference in this world. And if we don't pass it along, no one else will. And it breaks my heart because I even see it in the eyes of 3- and 4-year-olds that they're craving an influential male in their life to lead them. And set the tone, set the example to show them what the path looks like. It's important. And it's our responsibility as adults to step in that gap and make the difference for them. Do you have an excuse for not engaging in your local church? Not because it's self-gain for us, but because of the difference that we can make in this community. We all have excuses. Every single one of us has a wall in our lives, and it's our responsibility and nobody else's to say, here's a wall, and it can't be there anymore. And I have to acknowledge that, identify it, and say, all right, what am I going to do next? How am I going to get past this? Because we know that there is a direct correlation between our ability to follow Jesus and our willingness to break through those walls and excuses. We have to do it. We can't live walled in. We can't get to the end of our lives and say, I didn't make a difference. I didn't do anything for anybody other than myself. So what are your excuses? What has lingered in your life? What have you let stand? And will you consider to take that with you and say, I'm not going to let it stand anymore. I'm not going to let it be in my life. And the next few weeks, we're gonna continue this conversation on how we're going to move past these walls, how we're going to get past our excuses and start living in the freedom that Jesus offers to us every single day. I'd love to pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your character that we see so clearly. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be inspiring to every single one of us to drop our excuses, to drop the things that are hindering us, to drop the things that hold us back, that we are maybe afraid of or scared of, that we would trust in you and run the race that you have laid out for us. And experience the freedom and the joy that you offer us every single day. God, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for your faithfulness and your trust in us and your love for us. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen.